This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Facing Our Fears. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Think about the last scary movie you saw and what it really was about that movie that freaked you out. Yes, it was probably the plot, but I'm sure it was also the music, because so often that's what's really unsettling. A lone piano playing dissonant notes in the distance, or that kind of drumbeat that lets you know something terrible is about to happen. But why do these tunes scare us so much? Max Green reports.
It's a dark and stormy night. You're home alone, ready to watch a scary movie. You turn off the lights and settle in with a bowl of popcorn. The opening credits flash on the screen. After a few minutes, you're engrossed, but suddenly thinking, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. You're looking over your shoulder every few moments, and you're hyper aware of the sounds around you. A tree branch tapping softly at the window, a creaking floorboard, a metal gate swinging back and forth outside. You're on edge. But nothing scary has actually happened yet on screen, so why is the hair on your neck standing up? It may be all the cues your ears are picking up on that your eyes haven't. Sound cues that tell you tension is rising and something is probably going to happen soon.
The ear, in general, has a far more direct line to your emotional response.
That's Kubilai Uner. He teaches music composition for the screen at Columbia College, Chicago. He says in scary movies, the ear plays a big role in creating fear.
I think it has to do with the fact that it's always on. You can't close your ears. And it's the only thing that can look behind you. That's one of the reasons why it plays such a big role in scaring people in movies.
Kubilai says composers can use sound design and music to make the viewer feel unsettled.
Basically, what you're trying to do is somehow take away the sense of safety and control from the audience.
But when it comes to music, context is key. Notes and combinations of notes aren't objectively creepy sounding. Rather, horror movies have given us a kind of language that's taught us to fear certain tones. Kubilai uses a piano in his classroom to explain.
Complicated intervals can sound what we commonly call dissonant, and they can be employed to be scary. So you have something like this. And out of context, that sounds a little scarier than...
But take that same dissonant chord and add a few notes in the middle.
I can make it kind of pretty and more like a question mark.
Music composers have lots of strategies at their disposal to facilitate different kinds of scares. Take Alfred Hitchcock's classic Psycho, for example.
Where it's just horrific. Employing almost a physical gesture, those screechy violins that keep coming, is really just painting the movement of somebody with a knife stabbing, and you have that high sound which suggests metal.
And then there are brooding low tones, what you might expect to hear looking down a dark hallway or across open water, like the incessant rumble in Jaws. And a common one these days, the twisted reality scare.
Distorting to expectations. Something that should be nothing but good turns into the opposite.
A good example is the lullaby theme from one of my favorite horror flicks, Rosemary's Baby.
You have these many primal ways of scaring people acoustically. And I think it has to do with the function that we're used to using our ears as alarm mechanisms.
Science tells us Kubilai's theory isn't far off from the truth. All of those elements he mentioned scare us for a reason. It's why we use words like primal or visceral to describe fear. Scary sounds act as a stimulus and evoke a biological response from our bodies. Daniel Blumstein studies evolution and biology at the University of California in Los Angeles, and he's curious about why certain sounds evoke this fear response in people. But he's not a fan of horror movies. What got him thinking about this was much cuter.
Marmots.
Marmots are kind of like big squirrels.
And through a serendipitous experience I had, I was holding a baby marmot, and suddenly it screamed, and I had this emotional response. And I wondered why I'm having an emotional response to a rodent, you know, screaming.
And just for reference, this is what a screaming baby marmot sounds like. D- Daniel says when he heard that, his body reacted. His heart skipped a beat, and he started thinking,
maybe there's a general principle at play that can help us understand why we respond certain ways to certain types of music and certain types of soundtracks.
So we started looking at the screams on spectrograms. That's kind of a visual representation or voice print of different sound components.
And what was striking about marmot screams is they illustrated things that bioacousticians would call nonlinearities.
Nonlinearities in sound occur when a system, like vocal cords in a marmot or speakers in a stereo, are overblown. Think of those jarring, noisy squeals and distortions that come out of a broken speaker.
Raspy, staticky. Some of these may be rapid frequency upshifts and rapid frequency downshifts, which might come across as warbles.
He found that noisy sorts of sounds naturally produced by vocal cords in alarming circumstances make us feel afraid.
I think the people that have been making films and music have implicitly known this. But what our work has shown is sort of the reason why. And this hypothesis links us to our ancestors, not just our human ancestors, but our non-human ancestors.
Kublai Uner, the music professor, says that makes sense to him. As a film composer, he plays with the timeless tools that help spook audiences. But he says cultural context changes over time. Music that scared people 100 years ago, like this Bach toccata, which might conjure images of Dracula, sounds a bit kitschy today.
One of the problems that you have as a composer is that everything that works tends to lose potency. And so you have to reinvent the wheel with some regularity.
So remember, people like him are out there right now trying to scare you. And biology is on their side. For The Pulse, I'm Max Green.